Welcome back to our Total Sense Bite-Size episodes. I'm Tom Henske, and I'm here to help parents teach their kids about money.
Welcome back, everyone. Today on the podcast, we are joined by Professor Chuck Howard. He's a Wahoo. That's why I met him. University of Virginia, of course, everyone knows that's been listening to our podcast. There's three things that are near and dear to my heart: money, pizza, and the University of Virginia. So he's a researcher and expert in behavioral economics. And he's focusing, one of his focus areas is on understanding how people make financial decisions. Ooh, that's juicy for this one, because our tendency is to underestimate our future spending. I'm sure that's not a shocker to anyone. So his paper caught my eye. He's going to talk about it. He's got some great practical applications for families looking to improve their own budgeting. And I'm also hoping that you're going to teach this to your kids, or at least how to have a dinner time conversation about it. His research is really sheds a lot of light on common mistakes that families make when they're predicting their expenses. So let's dive right in. Hey, Chuck, what's going on?
Hey, Tom. Not too much. How are you doing today?
Doing amazing. Thanks for taking the time to be on. I know you professors are strapped for time all the time, so glad to have you on here. So if I could just jump right in, I want you to explain what this expense prediction bias is, but I need you to do it in simple terms because I'm not the smartest guy in the world.
No problem at all, Tom. The expense prediction bias is simply the observation that a strong majority of people tend to dramatically underpredict their future spending. It's as simple as that. If you were to ask 100 people today, how much are you going to spend in the next week or the next month, and then follow up with them at the end of that week or month, you would see that the majority of them say today, you know, let's say on average, they think, okay, I'll spend $1,000. And you follow up a month later, and lo and behold, they've actually spent $1,500.
Okay, so why? Why do people underestimate their expenses?
The reason is very straightforward. When we sit down to make an expense prediction, the things that come to mind first and most easily are our most typical expenses. It's groceries, it's gas for the car, it's our rent or our mortgage payment. And that captures a fair share of how much money we spend in any given week or month, but it's definitely not the whole story. In any week, in any month, we're all going to encounter atypical things, things that don't come up that often, and therefore just hard to imagine in prospect when we make a prediction. That could be something as simple as a birthday present, an anniversary gift, but you know, those things that only come along once a year, let's say, just don't come to mind that easily. And so we neglect them. And in any given week or month, we have enough atypical expenses that they add up, and a prediction based on only our typical spending ends up being too low.
So like my daughter who called me and she blew out her tire that I was not expecting this week. Is that falling in that category?
Absolutely. So that would count among the sort of more atypical expenses, things that you just absolutely can't predict in a given time period, but they're bound to come up. It could be an emergency health expense that, you know, has a high copay, something like that, a blown tire, car repair. If you own a home, you know that, you know, home repairs can come out of the blue and they tend to be pretty pricey. But it can be smaller stuff as well. Maybe your in-laws are coming to visit for Thanksgiving weekend, and all of a sudden your grocery bill is going to be double what it usually is. And, you know, there's a spectrum, but what it really boils down to is things being atypical.
So when I'm reading through your paper, and I'll take that paper and put it in the show notes too, and I don't want people to shut off this podcast when I start talking about mode versus mean. So the paper starts to talk about the mode versus mean, and it was taking me back to my high school classes. And for the life of me, I couldn't remember the difference between the two. And then if you could just explain that in plain English terms, but then take us through what you were referencing in your paper, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So the paper does get quite technical. The simple way to explain it is that the mode represents the most common outcome. So in the case of expenses, that's the really typical stuff, right? Again, groceries, gas for the car, things like that. The mean represents the average outcome. So if you were to add up your weekly spending over the course of the last, say, 2 or 3 months and take the straight average of that, that would actually end up mathematically being the most accurate prediction you could make for the next week.
And why is focusing on the mode problematic?
And there's a very technical explanation for that. But again, the intuitive way to describe it is simply that your average spending accounts for those atypical expenses. Mathematically, if you're taking the average, let's say over the last 3 months, then what you have baked into that estimate is the week when your groceries were higher than usual, is the week when you had to help your daughter with the car repair. But the mode, the most common outcome, doesn't account for that, right? It's all of the weeks where your groceries were pretty much as you would typically spend.
Okay, so let's bring it back to real life. So what are some of the common consequences when a family underestimates their expenses from your perspective?
Mm-hmm. So if you think about the following scenario, let's say somebody wants to buy a new TV. They're not sure how much they can afford to spend on the TV. So they think about how much money they're going to earn in the next month. And then they think about how much money they're going to spend. And the difference between those two things is the budget they set to spend on their new TV. Let's say it's $1,000, okay? Because they think they're going to earn $2,000. They think they're going to spend $1,000 on all the typical stuff. So they have $1,000 slush fund to go out and spend on this new TV. So they go out and buy that, and they're very happy with it. But they have to put it on their credit card and wait until they get paid at the end of the month to pay that off. And lo and behold, they've underestimated their spending for the month, right? So they thought it was going to be $1,000. Let's say it ends up being $1,500. Well, now they can only afford to pay off $500 of the grand that they put on their credit card. That extra $500 ends up being something they have to pay interest on. And one of the crazy things about expense underestimation is that it's really persistent. So people will do it week after week and month after month. So you can imagine if you make that mistake a few times and there's a few months in a row where you're off by $500 or $1,000 or, you know, whatever a meaningful sum of money is for you in your life. Well, after 3 months or so, you've got quite a balance on your credit card. You're paying, what, a 20, maybe a 30% interest rate on that. It becomes a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. We all know how hard it is to get out of that kind of debt. And that's the logic behind why underestimating your spending can be problematic.
You know, it's interesting because when I was a full-time financial advisor and you would ask people, how much do you spend on a monthly basis? I feel like 9 times out of 10, they understate it. And so what we would always do is we would always add a little bit more of a buffer. And I would say, look, if you don't wind up spending all this money, then your model looks that much better. But 9 times out of 10, they spent that amount of money that we put in there. So I think that that's important to have that some sort of accuracy by putting a little buffer in what you expect. And like you said, those credit card 20% interest charges are just damaging to your, forget about your finances in general, but also your credit rating and your credit score. So that's for sure. So when you hear me talk about all this and from the research you've done, any simple strategies you have for families to improve these predictions that they have?
Yep. So when you're in a situation where you absolutely need to make an accurate financial prediction for spending, we have found that a really simple solution is just to take a minute and think about a couple of reasons why your spending might be different than usual. And when you do that, all of a sudden, you're not only thinking of groceries, gas for the car, and your rent. You're also thinking of, like, you know, let's say you're an undergraduate student here at UVA. Maybe there's a weekend trip that you want to take with your friends, and that expense becomes front and center in your mind. And so all of a sudden, the prediction you make gets bumped up by a few $100 to account for that trip. And now you're in the store looking at the new TV thinking, okay, well, maybe I should get the $500 one instead of the $1,000 one. You make the right spending choice. You don't end up carrying that balance on your credit card. So you're not paying the high interest rate. And ultimately, you end up in better financial health. Now, one caveat to all of this that I think is super important to point out is that there is a circumstance when making a low expense prediction can be beneficial. And that's when you're setting a monthly budget that you're going to really closely track your spending against. So if you are trying to reduce your spending And let's say you're spending on average $1,000 a month. In that case, you want to set an aggressive goal. You want to say, okay, I'm going to try to get it down to, let's say, $500 in this example. And the thing of it is, Tom, the probability that you get it down to $500, especially in the first couple of months, is almost zero. But if you're really carefully tracking your spending against the goal of only spending $500 a month, you're definitely going to spend less than $1,000 a month. So you're improving. And what we see in our research is that you'll improve a little bit month over month. Okay, so maybe in the first month, you only get it down to $900. Maybe in the second month, you only get it down to $800. But 6 months out, you're getting closer and closer to $500. And ultimately, what really matters is that you're spending a lot less than you used to. That will help you pay off that credit card debt. That will help you increase your savings. And ultimately, it will help improve your financial well-being.
I love that. It's like a Jedi mind trick on yourself, right? So you're fooling yourself into making good money decisions. I love it. So let me bring it back to parents, who's the main audience, parents and grandparents. So if you're sitting down with your kids at the kitchen table and you're just talking about budgeting, any helpful hints that you can think of that we might bring up in conversation?
So it's never too soon to start. That's the first thing. I talk to young people all the time about the power of compound interest. So even saving just a little bit of money today is going to have really big positive effects on your life down the road. And budgeting is a great way to increase your savings. So just get started. And, you know, if you're talking to a high school kid, it might be as simple as saving $5 a week. Doesn't have to be a huge sum of money. But like everything else in life, it's about building good habits. The second thing is that when you're going to make a budget that you're tracking your spending against, you have to actually track your spending against it. And you have to do that even when the going gets tough. So there's bound to be months, especially for the adults who are listening to this, where you're going to spend way more than you budget because of the emergency car repair, the home repair, the healthcare expense, and so on. But you can't let that get you down because it's a long game. So concentrate on any improvements you've been making as compared to your past spending. So ideally, on average, you're spending less than you used to. And just pass on that positive mindset to your kids. Money isn't something to be afraid of. And the more attention we pay to our personal finances, the better off we're going to be in the long run.
Wow. I don't know if we could go any further without having such a great ending to this. So I'm going to stop right there because that's a great piece of advice. Professor Howard, thank you so much. And where can my listeners find more about you and your research?
Thank you, Tom. It's been my pleasure. They can look me up on the UVA Darden website. Just Google Dr. Chuck Howard, UVA Darden. They'll find my contact info there if they want to reach out. And there are links to all my research papers as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. Have a good one.
I hope you enjoyed our episode of Total Sense. A special thank you goes out to Verso Studios at the Westport Library. Tune in for our next Money Chat.